and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York, and hey, Happy New Year! Tons of people helped ring in 2023 in Times Square, and it is the first time in a long time there were no COVID restrictions. CBS's Wendy Gillette was there.
2023 arrived at the stroke of midnight with a nearly 12,000-pound Waterford crystal ball drop and about a ton of confetti flying through the air.
We just want a happy 2023. We want all our families to be with us and celebrating life.
2023 is also bringing a lot of changes to millions of seniors. CBS's Christopher Cruz tells us Medicare is getting a makeover.
For the first time in more than a decade, monthly premiums for 59 million retirees will decrease. Medicare Part B, which covers doctor visits and other outpatient care not covered by Part A, will decline 3% to $164.90. The annual deductible for Medicare Part B will decline from $233 to $226.
It's been a violent start to 2023 in Ukraine, where Russia's launched more attacks. The BBC's Hugo Bachega is in Kyiv.
As midnight struck, Kyiv came under attack again. There was no serious damage or casualties, but the strikes in the first hours of 2023 fueled anger among Ukrainians already tired of Russia's unrelenting air campaign. Officials accused Moscow of deliberately targeting civilians while people gathered to celebrate.
North Korea is also wasting no time in the new year. It's already conducted its first missile test of the year, following an unprecedented number of launches in 2022. Reporter Alex Jensen has more from Seoul, South Korea.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's blamed the U.S. and other hostile forces for the need to exponentially increase production of nuclear warheads and develop an even more powerful intercontinental ballistic missile.
Brazilians in Santos paid tribute to Pelé as they welcomed 2023. People sang as drones hit the sky to form a picture of the soccer superstar. Pelé died last week after a long battle with colon cancer. He was 82 years old. His funeral starts tomorrow. A bit of relief now in Idaho after a big arrest. Here's CBS's Danya Backus.
After nearly 7 weeks of uncertainty, residents of Moscow, Idaho, now feeling at ease.
I think it was pretty unnerving and scary for people.
Moscow police say they are confident that 28-year-old Brian Koberger is the killer.
An extradition hearing is set for Tuesday. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3966.
You wash your hands, you brush your teeth, but what about the nose? How do you clean your nose? With Navage. Navage uses powered suction to pull saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out the other nostril, flushing out allergens, mucus, and germs. And it's why cleaning your nose, the body's air filter, is the next evolution in daily personal hygiene. People try Navage for lots of reasons. Sinusitis, colds, allergies, snoring, things that make it hard to breathe through your nose. But over time, they find that cleaning their nose makes them feel better, a lot better. Over 3 million Navage users have written more than 100,000 reviews, averaging 4.7 stars, saying, best product I've ever used, and amazing, I love my Navage. Navage helps you breathe better, sleep deeper, and snore less, but the biggest payoff is improved health. Navage is good personal hygiene and can help you stay healthier. At Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, and online. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Let's face it. Life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 35. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, lows dip down to about 21. Overcast tomorrow, highs level off around 33. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Brown, victory's coming to Title Town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus ain't messing around. Santa Claus is coming to Title Town.
Santa Claus is coming tomorrow because it is Christmas Eve Eve, and this is our Christmas special show, our first annual Christmas special show Askos, Wisconsin. First annual, because this show's only been on for 6 months. So when do you have any fun Christmas, like Santa stories from being like what you remember as a kid?
You mean like someone...
I don't know, just the memory of Santa in either tracking Santa or if he ever ate all the cookies or didn't eat the cookies or anything as far as your memory of the magic of Santa.
Definite cookie check, always.
Definite.
Definite cookie check, yes.
Was there ever any, like, footprints left or...
Didn't, we were not able to confirm, you know, footprints or anything, but the cookie was the tell, you know? And usually they would all be gone.
Yes,
so,
of course.
You know, and then we would leave a little bowl of sugar for the reindeer.
Oh.
I didn't know
that reindeer like sugar.
Of course they do. No, I just actually just remembered that. Yeah, so we would leave cookies out and then this little bowl of sugar for Santa's reindeer because apparently they need the energy, you know, when they're traveling all over the world.
The Rudolph's all hopped up on sugar.
Yeah, that's right. How do you think they get around?
Well, one tradition that has been around for 67 years is NORAD tracking Santa. And every Christmas, children and their parents around the world, this is not just an American thing, gather to receive live updates from NORAD's Santa tracker. And you know, I didn't know where this actually came from or how long it's been around until I found this story of people kind of, it was from historynet.com of talking about the roots of this tradition.
But where was that? So, okay, I'm 62. This started a few years before I was born.
December 1955.
And I don't ever remember hearing about, I mean, how is the information disseminated before cable television and all of that stuff?
So it's actually a pretty charming story. So it has Cold War roots, and it started with a misplaced phone call to a secret U.S. military command center in Colorado. So it's just the supreme irony of the heartwarming legend of Santa and his magical airborne sleigh bringing gifts for children, and somehow that it would cross paths with a military command hub tasked with defending America's skies from missiles. And the basic facts that we know are this. So it was Christmas Eve, and personnel manning the clandestine Continental Air Defense Command. So what was NORAD used to be, what's now NORAD used to be CONAD. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And they had an operations center in Colorado.
Okay.
And then they had an unexpected call, and it came to the desk of their commander, Colonel Harry Shoup. And Shoup had been in the Army Air Corps since 1940. So, he was, you know, at this point, he's 15 years in. And he was a fighter pilot and awarded the Soldier's Medal for saving a life of a comrade. And the CONAD phone line was confidential. So when Shoup answered the call, he expected it to be from a senior military official and was pretty astonished to hear a child's voice asking if he was in fact Santa Claus.
Oh my gosh.
So of course, Shoup initially thought this was a prank. And he said, somebody's playing a joke on me and this isn't funny. And then to the kid, he said, can you repeat that, please? And then he realized that the call was an error due to a typo printed in a Sears newspaper advertisement encouraging children to call Santa in addition to paying him a visit at the mall. And in the article that I found this in, they have the Sears advertisement and it says, hey, kiddies, call me direct on my line. And it has the telephone, just dial 26681 or like whatever.
Sure.
And said, call me on my private phone and I will talk to you personally anytime, day or night, or come and visit me at Sears Toyland, Santa Claus. So the number they printed on accident was the CONAD number.
This super secret bat line number.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Is it incredible? And so basically his Shoup and his staff rose to the challenge of using CONAD's military technology, wink, wink, to track and protect Santa Claus on his Christmas journey. And so then Shoup asked his public relations officer to announce CONAD's Santa tracking initiative to the press with the words, CONAD, Army, Navy, and Marine Air Forces will continue to track and guard Santa and his sleigh on his trip and from to and from the U.S. against possible attack from those who do not believe in Christmas. So it obviously, because this is the Cold War,
sure,
was kind of a veiled reference to the Soviet Union.
Because they're going to shoot down Santa and the
elves. They're going to shoot down Santa because they don't believe in Christmas.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so the Santa tracking endeavor was a public morale booster and lifting people's spirits at a time when the Cold War tensions were very high and many ordinary citizens were worried about the possibility of a Soviet attack. And so that's the origin story. And then eventually, isn't that crazy?
That is just cuckoo. It really is. And
just a mistake, a Sears catalog mistake.
But for that commanding officer to take that next step was really clever.
Well, just to embrace it.
Well, right. That's just wild. That's just wild.
It's wild. And so obviously then CONAD turned into NORAD, but the tradition stuck. And to this day, children are encouraged to call in and check on Santa's whereabouts on Christmas Eve. And it's more than, this is some fun facts of where it is, what the program is today. So more than 1,200 military service members answer the calls.
Oh my gosh.
And millions of children follow Santa's movements on the NORAD Santa Tracker website.
Well, that I will actually have up because you can watch it on cable too.
Yeah.
And I will usually check to, you know, make sure the elf is okay and making his way around and stuff. But
make sure that the reindeer are eating their sugar.
Yes,
so they can keep being powered up.
Keep flying all night long. But again, so it was a phone line. So they would call Santa in the early days before this was disseminated on cable and stuff like that. So this was
cable
just
or a website. You could just call.
Okay.
You could just call. There was they ended up on. It probably wasn't the normal secret line. They probably developed a new phone line for kids to call in on.
Right.
But and so it kind of just goes back to Shoup's kindness in answering a misdirected phone call from a child and the holiday cheer that it spreads among men and women, both in the military and the public. And he's so for Shoup, he became affectionately known as Santa Colonel.
Aww.
And his family said it was his proudest achievement.
Oh, that is so adorable.
Isn't that sweet?
Yes, absolutely. I love that. And just so, to think about the servicemen and women who are still answering those calls today, that must be like, I want that detail, man.
Like, if we're going to have to do something on Christmas Eve right? besides be with our like our loved ones, yeah,
I want to
sign
do
up
that.
For, yeah. And so, yeah, I thought that was such a heartwarming, fun, true origin story of how and why we track Santa.
It is interesting how much we've backed away from the whole, we have to have armed protection on Santa while he's traveling around the world in case evil people want to shoot him down. So
I know that's the only part of the story that feels a little propaganda-y. I was like, oh, like this is a veiled insinuation of the Russians are bad.
The bad Soviet Russians.
Union is bad.
But at the time, it was apt. So that
do
is
you, not to totally taint this story, but do you remember having to do like the bomb drill? Like, were you still doing that by the time you were in elementary school?
No, my sisters did. My siblings who were like 10, 9, and 8 years older than me, they did.
Yeah.
But no, I missed all that. Because of course, crouching under your desk was such a great defense.
Well, never mind. I'm not even going to go there because it's almost Christmas and we're going to keep things light for the rest of this show.
Yes, we are.
But I'm trying to remember any My Santa stories that stick in my brain.
See, and I see your mother going all out.
Well, what's funny, yes, she absolutely did. But I don't, you know, like we never did Elf on the Shelf. I feel like that's kind of a newer tradition, and it's been fun for my niece who's 5.
That's perfect for her, right?
Finding the elves every day, and they leave her notes, and sometimes they get into mischief in her dollhouse, and that I don't know, maybe that's the next thing, maybe we'll save that for next year, the origin story of Elf on a Shelf and the hiding of the elf. But I'm trying to remember now. I'm sure if my mom's listening today, I'll go home after the show and she'll
You forgot that time we did this.
And no, that's not to say that I don't have incredible Christmas memories, but I'm trying to think of one that was like specifically the magic of Santa. I do remember asking for Santa for about 5 years straight for a dog, and that dog never came.
I have a feeling your father may have played a role in that.
Well, we had a dog, but I wanted, there was 4 different types of dogs I would have really wanted as a kid. One was a Dachshund, like wiener dog. And in fact, my mom loves this story. Is she's like, well, who's going to, you know, you're going to have to walk the dog if you got your own dog. And I would say, well, his legs are really short, so I wouldn't have to walk him that far. So, the logic of a 7-year-old.
Absolutely.
And, I still really love bulldogs, but I've always loved bulldogs. I wouldn't get one now just because they have so many health issues. But then I loved big dogs. I loved the idea of a Great Dane or a St. Bernard, because obviously I had seen Beethoven one too many times, and German Shepherds. And that was never, a big dog was never going to happen in our house. But that was the gift I really wanted from Santa and never actually got.
Now you have Cliffy.
But now I have Cliffy, who is not enjoying the weather.
I was going to ask about that. Those must be some real quick trips.
Real quick peas, running back in the house. All right. Well, now that we're on the subject of Santa, Santa was not always the fat, jolly man that we know him to be today. There were some old school pictures of Santa that he looked a lot different. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is messing around. Beat those lousy bears.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs. Part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the land. Snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. We are happy tonight, walking in the winter,
wonderland. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, Christmas edition. We are having fun, Jane and I, today. Jane's in Waukesha, I'm in Wisconsin Rapids. It's cold everywhere, it's snowy everywhere, but not as maybe as bad as we thought it would be.
No, it is not as bad as we thought it would be. Again, I think we got lucky because we didn't get more snow. Yeah. And I think we might be getting a burst after 5 o'clock tonight, which for people who are on the roads is going to be, that's going to be an issue. So be careful.
Be careful. Yeah, did absolutely. You say that we got a text message?
We do, from the 414, our friend in the 414. We were talking about the NORAD and the history of the Santa tracker and all of that. Texter says, as a young kid, I remember hearing about the Santa flight on the radio because this was before the internet. My dad used to religiously listen to WBBM in Chicago, and that was when I heard about the tracking. So I'm sure they did reports on all the AM, which was probably almost all AM stations at that time. It worked as well. My brother and myself always went to bed early that night. It probably happened about 55 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. But some of those memories really stick. They really stick with you.
Well, like you said, and sometimes you just have to unlock them a little bit, like the sugar for reindeer.
Honestly, I haven't thought about that in decades.
That's so funny. Well, if you have other Christmas stories that you want to share with us, we will read them. Because it's the Christmas edition of As Goes Wisconsin, 844-967-2789. And this hour specifically, we're doing some fun facts, origin stories, history of some of the traditions that we just assume this is how it always was. But where did it actually come from? And the next one, which predates, I would say, pretty much anyone who is alive currently, is what Santa looked like before 1920. Because it was in the 1920s that this version of Santa that was plump and jolly and had his rosy cheeks, and that was mainly from Coca-Cola's holiday advertising.
Yeah, it was advertisements.
But before that, it wasn't that they
that this was the first imaging of Santa that we've seen. It's that Santa prior to that was a lot creepier. So I found this on Petapixel. We will send out some of these pictures. I've already sent it to Brooklyn. I was like, we have to put, like,
share these.
Send out. So we have to share these because I'm going to try to explain them on air, but they have to actually be seen to be believed. Because it's 19th century photos that reveal that the Santa Claus of that era was hunchbacked.
Excuse me?
Hunchbacked, skinny, and sometimes terrifying. And it was, you know, Father Christmas looked a little differently and a little less cuddly than the 20th century Santa, let's say it that way. And so this is a series of black and white photographs, and they date back as far as the 1880s.
Wow.
And Santa was kind of scary and scrawny, and he was robed. He had no reindeer, but he was hunchbacked because he was dragging around so many presents, which kind of makes sense.
It sounds like Rasputin. I mean, what a creepy guy to come visit your home.
Truly. I mean, and so some of the 1880s images depict like a grotesque old man with a large mask. Some of the 1890s pictures represent Father Christmas as a spooky, ghostly figure, like Christmas Past, maybe.
Sure.
If you think of
A Christmas Carol.
Scrooge, A Christmas Carol. And he also, in some of the European imaging of Santa or Saint Nick, he was accompanied by a gruesome little creature known as Krampus, which was a devil-like character who beats badly behaved children okay. and drags them back to hell.
Ho, ho, ho.
And so it wasn't until the 1920s that kind of the image that we have of Santa now, and Coca-Cola changed it because they wanted to move away from the traditional thin, intellectual, very strict looking Santa and make him be a little bit more approachable.
Just think where we would be now if Coca-Cola had never done that. I mean, you would think that the image would have been updated at some point, but maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe we'd still have Rasputin Santa Claus.
I can't wait to send you these pictures.
Oh, that is just so weird.
Well, it's also, I feel like I've seen similar old photographs of this, of like old Halloween costumes that were basically just like potato sacks. And there's something about old photos, especially because I feel like it used to not be, you didn't smile for photos. I think the rare occasion that you probably even took photos, and they just look Victorian and haunted and weird so often.
And severe. Yeah.
And so these photos, though, they're fascinating from a historical context, but trying to think of being a young child and this is what you wake up to when Santa's visiting is kind of terrifying, if I'm going to be totally honest. And so I, for one, am grateful for the modern day Santa instead of this Rasputin. What did you say?
Rasputin Claus. I mean, come on. That's just, it sounds like Fagin from Oliver. You know,
that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah,
that's a good description.
That is just wild.
And so we'll tweet and share some of these photos and the link to the original article because, you know, it's good to know where your traditions come from. And so more fun when we're going to come back because we're going to take a break right now. But when we come back, the economists will tell you what the perfect Christmas gift is. And the answer might surprise you. So stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin, Christmas edition.
We'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid new plans that we made walking while we walking.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids, and I've got a good job.
Bye, Mom.
See you, Mom.
A pretty important job. Because of my family and my job, I really care about this neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime. And when I drive to work, like now, I realize that some people here don't trust the police. So the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you as a police officer that this department is reaching out to the community and the community is doing its part. We're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. This is how we can all be safer. Get involved. Start the conversation.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Let 211 be your guiding light for help with food, healthcare, and other resources.
211, how can I help you?
Call 211 or visit 211.org. 211. Get connected. Get help.
Roxanne Watson is on a mission.
Hello, how are you doing today?
She wants more people to register as organ, eye, and tissue donors.
Are you an organ donor?
Yes, I am.
Yay! Yay.
My goal is to sign up the most people in the United States.
What drives her? Roxanne's own life was saved through the gift of a heart transplant, made possible by an organ donor.
I decided that day that I was going to devote myself to the cause of organ donation and signing people up and honoring my donor by doing that.
Now she's back to health, and she's a powerful force helping to save lives every day through her work. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life.
8 people can be helped with the major organs, and up to 50 people can be helped with a little bit of everything. And when you think about it that way, that you could help that many people, it's amazing, it really is.
Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 35. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, lows dip down to about 21. Overcast tomorrow, highs level off around 33. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city.
Ring-a-ling. Welcome back to as goes Wisconsin, the Christmas edition. It is Christmas Eve Eve. It is Festivus. We are having fun. Jane is in Waukesha at WAUK. I am in Wisconsin Rapids at WFHR. But hello to all of our other stations across the Civic Media Network. Thank you for joining us today. I don't know if it's your lunch hour, because I think a lot of people are either taking the day off or didn't drive to work if they didn't have to. But yeah, for everyone who is working and weathered the cold and the wind and is still listening to us now, thank you for joining us.
Do you have windows where you are, Kristen, in that studio there?
I do. I'm looking out right now onto the little roundabout next to the river in Wisconsin Rapids. And the trees aren't blowing. I think the wind is harsh, but I can't see anything. The visibility seems fine up here. Okay. How does it look down there?
It's blowing pretty hard down here. I mean, we actually have some sunshine, which is weird. I feel like we haven't seen the sun in a month. But yeah, a little sun peeking through, but ooh, that wind, yeah, shaking things up.
Are you nervous about driving home?
I'm nervous about my car not starting when I get out of here.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I think at the top of the hour news, in the 6 minutes that I have, I will dash out there and start the car quick and then run it for a minute and then
let it warm up.
Yeah. I just, that is my biggest concern, is that sitting out in that cold air, although it's only a couple of hours, I wouldn't think that it would go dead in 3 hours.
Probably not, but I don't know if enough about cars or kind of car you drive to know what could or could not happen.
I mean, my husband is off today, so if I have to get a jump, he can always, I'm sure he'll be so happy about that.
I'm sure.
Yeah. He can always come out and give me a jump.
So what do you have planned coming for the weekend? Do you guys have any traditions that you're excited about?
Well, unfortunately, I was supposed to be hosting three girlfriends, good friends tonight, and we were just going to have a pizza party, and everybody was going to bring something to share, and that has gotten canceled because one of our friends lives way out in the Sussex area, and I think people are just, and justifiably so, if you don't have to be on the road, don't.
Don't.
You know, we're actually going to get together on Monday instead.
Oh, fine,
so we'll do a brunchy thing on Monday. But so, we don't really have many hard and fast traditions, except for Christmas morning. My husband will get up first. He will start the fire. And then I get up, and then we have a little breakfast, and then we open prezzies. And then we get ready because we're hosting this year, so we'll be having
family.
People. I have cooking to do tonight since I'm not going to be having guests, and I have a lot of cooking to do tomorrow, too. So I'm making lasagna for the first time.
Ooh, that's what we have on Christmas Eve.
Oh, is it?
That's our tradition, is lasagna on Christmas Eve, and then we have, for Christmas morning, kielbasa and eggs and stuff like that, but that's part of our... And then we do most of our Christmas presents Friday night.
Oh, well,
and
yeah,
when we
sure.
were kids, going back to when Santa still visited us, the parents' gifts to us as kids was Christmas Eve.
Ah.
And then we had more presents because we were arguably spoiled that were from Santa in the morning. But we still have stockings in the morning. But most of the gifts we do around the fire with plenty of drinks on Christmas Eve. But it makes me think, are you a present person? You know how there's the five love languages? Are you familiar with this? So the five love languages are quality time, touch, words of affirmation, gifts, or acts of service.
Hmm.
So basically, it's this idea that how we show as any given person, predominantly, it will fall into one of those five categories. As far as how you show or receive love is through one of those, predominantly through one of those five. And I feel like, despite my mother being one of the best gift givers in the world, for me, gift giving is like fairly down on that list. As far as giving or receiving, I like gifts, don't get me wrong, but it's just, I would much rather you tell me that I'm pretty.
Good to know.
And, but so do you really get into buying the perfect gift? Are you offended if someone gets you a gift that just doesn't make sense?
No, never. And okay. I used to be much more into the shopping when my in-laws were still alive and we would ship things overseas because they were in England. So I would spend a lot of time picking out things for Christine and for my brothers-in-law and stuff like that. But again, we just don't gift that much anymore. And Paul and I are trying to get rid of stuff. I don't need more stuff. And even with my friends who were supposed to come over tonight, and we have always done this for Christmas and birthdays, that we would all exchange gifts. But last year I told them too, I said, we got to stop. Either let's donate to a charity collectively or do it on each other's behalf. That's kind of more of what I'm into now.
Yeah, but, that makes sense.
I have to say as well that I'm never going to say no to a nice piece of jewelry.
Gold in or silver?
In the true spirit of the season. Yes.
Absolutely. Gold or silver?
Either works.
Either? You don't have a preference?
No.
Oh, all right.
Just if it's sparkly, you know how I am.
That's true. You do like...
I like blingy things. I like blingy things.
Bedazzled, bejeweled
yes,
things.
Yes, I do.
And so, well, if you have an idea of what you think the perfect Christmas gift is, or a perfect Christmas gift that you once bought or once received, 844-967-2789, because some economists looked into and researched what the perfect Christmas gift is. And the answer, if you know economists, it might not actually surprise you, because they can be, let's say, they can be kind of Scrooges. They're very pragmatic.
Sure.
But I'm not sure the average economist really, you know, if the utility of really getting into the Christmas spirit. But they studied what the perfect Christmas gift is. And their answer kind of is no gift at all.
It's the best gift.
It's the best gift.
Oh, well, that's a real Scroogey position to take.
And so in 1993, an economist named Joel Waldfogel studied how much people valued their Christmas gift versus how much the gift actually cost. So the perceived, and I don't know if the value meaning, if you had to guess how much you thought the gift cost versus the value that it holds in your heart of how much you hold on to it and treasure it versus how much it actually cost. And so what his conclusion was is that Christmas gift giving wastes a lot of money. And, you know, it's because most people value their gifts at a less than their actual retail price. And he calculated, and this was in the 90s, so I can't even imagine what it is now, that of the $38 billion Americans spend on Christmas gifts, or the gifts the previous Christmas, as much as $13 billion was wasted.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just shocking. And is it wasted because the gifts were not used, or they didn't like them?
It was just they were given away, thrown out, not valued. But it changes depending on who gave the gift. So the group that did the best at giving people what they actually valued, maybe not surprising, because typically this person, once you're an adult, knows you the best and probably spends the most amount of time with you. So they actually know what you need or what you want. But the group that did the best at giving people what they actually valued was significant others. And I don't think that's surprising. That makes sense. But the group that did the worst at giving gifts that the recipient actually valued, this is kind of sad, but do you want to guess?
Oh boy. Narrow it down. Give me a hint.
It's family. It's older family.
Oh, it's your grandparents.
It's your grandparents.
Yeah. I can see that.
Oh, it's that sweater that you're never going to wear, or socks. Although socks are always useful because those little suckers always disappear. And the amount of unmatched socks I have in our house is, because you always hold out hope that you're going to find the other one.
Someday we'll reappear.
Someday. So we just have an entire bin of unmatched socks that I think at some point when we finally unpack the rest of our boxes that are staying in our garage from our move, maybe we will find those matching socks. But so the moral of the story is, what do economists think you should do instead? Just give cash.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
So wow.
That way people's gifts align with what they actually value, which is so not fun.
No.
It's so not in the Christmas spirit.
No, that's not nice at all. We have Deb on the line.
Oh.
With a story about a good Christmas gift. Right, Deb?
Okay.
I do have a story. When I was a little girl, 6 years old to be exact, the perfect gift would have been a Barbie doll, right? Born in 1955, Barbie dolls were all the rage then. And so at six, I wanted a Barbie. Well, my dad owned a store, a toy store, and I would go down and stand and look at all the Barbies and all the outfits that came for Barbie, and I wanted one so badly. Christmas morning, there was my Barbie, but she was missing almost everything. All the accessories that she was supposed to come with were gone. And as it turns out, there was a note from Santa, and it said, "Dear Debbie, I'm afraid that some of Barbie's accessories must have gotten lost in my bag. If I find them, I'll bring them back to you." I was so excited that I got a letter from Santa, it didn't even matter that what I had really received was the display Barbie from the toy store. And I was so naive that I thought, I am so lucky because Santa Claus actually left me a personal note. And that was the best gift ever for a six-year-old.
Oh, that is a great story.
That is a really
good
story.
Well, Dan, I know you like Barbies.
I do. I love Barbies. I just think it's I just think it's so sweet that you weren't bothered by the missing accessories. You know, you weren't bothered by that at all. It was just Santa wrote me a personal note, and now I should be good.
That's right. Well, we had the many a laugh about that in my family for many years on how I only got a half-naked Barbie, but I did get a Barbie.
How many years did you play with that Barbie?
Oh, for a long time, because, you know, that was before they had Barbie for every single thing, and you didn't just keep getting new Barbies. So it was that Barbie. And, Jane, do you remember? I don't know if you remember. The very first ones came with, like, a black and white striped swimming suit. And that was the one I had, and she had her hair up in that ponytail thing. And but she was supposed to come with stuff, and it was supposed to come in a little box, and that was all gone.
Oh, that is so funny.
It was funny, yeah. So, yeah, well, my parents, needless to say, were a little embarrassed through the years as I told that story.
Thank you so much, Deb. Merry Christmas.
You guys have a Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
That's a great story.
That is so great.
Do you have a toy that you remember from your childhood that you valued just like more than anything?
Valued more than anything. Well, I was pretty lucky. I had a couple American Girl dolls.
Ooh.
That I feel like I spent a lot of time playing
Ooh,
with.
You're
and
lucky.
And whether my mother kept me from doing this, I never actually cut off their hair, which was probably good because I think their value would have gone down by a lot.
Considerably, yes.
But I think it changed throughout the years as far as, I remember one year I got a karaoke machine and that was pretty fun, but it didn't work out very well. As we will hear at the end of today's show, about an hour from now, all those voice lessons and all the practicing on a karaoke machine didn't really pay off.
Kristen Rye sings.
Ugh. All right, well, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, some background on mistletoe. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hear the snow crunch, see the kid crunch. This is Santa's big scene. And above all this bustle you hear, silver bells.
Oh. Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Olivia, from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel, from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, the special Christmas edition on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic you think we should cover or an idea for a guest that we should have on, shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us or give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, especially for next week. Is there any end-of-the-year topics that we should make sure that we cover before we roll in the new year?
2023.
This year went by fast.
Well, you've had a whole lot of things going on this last year.
That's true. That's true.
Some major life changes for you.
That is true, but it's still, I feel like, I just saw this, and maybe that's one of the ones we'll do next week. The scientific reason that time goes by faster as we get older.
Oh.
Which feels obvious because each year becomes a smaller and smaller fraction of your entire life. So that's what makes sense to me of why time seems to go faster, because it's relatively a smaller proportion of your whole life. So if I'm 36 this year, this 1 year is 1/36, and next year it's going to be 1/37. So that's how it makes sense to me. But we'll maybe cover, I'll read that article and maybe report back what I find. But have you ever gotten caught under the mistletoe?
High school.
Really? Mm-hmm. Did you follow through? Did you actually kiss the person?
I did.
Oh, was it? Did you want to?
Yes.
Okay.
Badly. It's like, how about if I just hang around under here for a while and maybe he'll eventually walk by?
And then I will rapidly point out to him, hey, look what we're under right now.
Oh my
now.
Gosh, what a coincidence. Who could have possibly noticed that there?
Well, I don't think the closest I've ever been caught under the mistletoe is someone at Christmas parties literally carrying around fake mistletoe.
Oh, sure.
And holding it above your head. And saying, oh, now you got to kiss me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And I'm pretty sure I usually was like, no, thank you. But but mistletoe does have a much richer history than just the kissing plant, which the first thing is what I didn't realize is it's a parasitic plant.
So it grows on other things.
It grows on other things. And so it's not something that just, there's not like a mistletoe bush. It's something that is on an oak tree or on other plants.
Oh.
But it has this rich history of myth and tradition, and it dates back to like ancient times, which also, side note, I found out while we were on our honeymoon, aloe, the aloe plant also dates back to ancient times as being like a magical plant that even in Egyptians, Greek, like all of the ancient civilizations used it for healing and a bunch of different things, but not so much for mistletoe, but, so it dates back to ancient times. And basically the first one was like to like cut from oak trees, and it was very symbolic for Celtic druids.
Okay.
Who ceremoniously cut it with like a golden sickle on the sixth night of the moon.
As druids are wont to do.
As druids are wont to do. And then later it was gathered both at midsummer and winter solstices. And then in the Middle Ages, it was thought that mistletoe mistakenly thought to have sprouted from bird droppings, but no.
No, okay.
That's what the assumption was. So they believed that it had life-giving powers and it bestowed fertility, so it could protect against poisons, it was an aphrodisiac, and it could ward off evil spirits.
So they consumed mistletoe?
It sounds like it. It sounds like something that they either... Yeah, as an aphrodisiac, you'd think that it's not just you could sit under it and get the benefits. You actually had to eat it.
Ingest
it. So I guess we know it's not poisonous.
I always thought it was.
I don't know. But if they were eating it...
Apparently not.
It bestowed fertility. But then in Europe, it was commonly hung in doorways throughout the house and stable, house and stable to prevent the entrance of witches.
Oh. Keep the evil
spirits out. And then the origins of today's traditions involving mistletoe date back to Greek festivals, where it was believed to confer fertility again, and later with primitive marriage rites, or alternatively into Scandinavia. And so then in Norse mythology, the god of peace, Balder, was killed by an arrow made of mistletoe. But his parents, Odin and Frigga, restored his life and gave mistletoe to the goddess of love. And so then it was decreed that anyone who passed under mistletoe should receive a kiss.
So it's a Nordic, the current form of what we do with mistletoe is a Nordic tradition.
But it seems like the ongoing theme across centuries, or millennia even, is fertility and aphrodisiac. And it seems like there's always been kind of something around the lovemaking that goes with mistletoe. But the traditions related to European mistletoe were transferred to the similar American plant with immigration and settlement. And for those who wish to observe the correct etiquette, a berry should be plucked after each kiss. And when the last berry is gone, there should be no more kissing.
Uh-oh.
Didn't know that part, did you?
No. Is this like the curse now with the mistletoe?
I don't know if it's a curse. I think it's just etiquette.
Oh.
It's like using the right fork at Christmas dinner.
Approach the mistletoe correctly. Respect the mistletoe.
You will not get extra luck out of the mistletoe once the berries are gone.
Okay.
You're not getting lucky. Let it go.
Not going to happen for you. Sorry.
So there you go. So those are our fun facts for this Christmas.
And
I learned a lot. Did you learn a lot?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm still wrapping my head around the scary Santa Claus that we talked about earlier. And the whole mistletoe thing, that's fascinating. And I guess it shouldn't be a surprise because they were really very focused on fertility.
Especially when you think about the birth,
infant
mortality rates. Yeah. They're like, we just have to keep pumping them out.
Come on, baby.
But yeah, so that was some of the fun facts that I learned in preparation for today's show. But now we're going to switch over to airing the grievances because it is Festivus. So this is your chance. We don't always do a lot of complaining on this show, but this next segment, if you have a grievance you would like to air, we want to hear from you.
Take advantage of it.
844-967-2789. I got to come up with mine because I think I complain, but I was trying to come up with, what do I really want to air out on air today? So on the break, I'm gonna think of what mine are. But come back, stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, mit your nose so bright, won't you guide mine sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudy the red-beaked reindeer, you'll go down in history.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28.
WFHR, Mom, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening.